Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, June 13th. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us this afternoon is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew owns a practice in Saratoga Springs, New York, and he is here in the studio to answer your questions about orthopedics and sports medicine. If you have an aching knee or a shoulder that's giving you trouble, now's the time to call 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Physical therapy and your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. Matthew is the owner of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs, New York. His 20 years of experience includes exercise-based therapy and manual therapy. If you have an ache or a pain or you have a question at all about physical therapy, give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, but the number is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, you've been on with Alan on a Medical Monday some time ago.
Yes.
So you know how this works.
I do, yes.
You and I will chat for a while, and then we'll take some calls.
Sounds perfect.
Well, since it's been a while, tell us what it is that you do.
Well, I'm a physical therapist, and I specialize in orthopedics. So in orthopedics, that's going to be everything from foot, ankle, knee, hip, shoulders. Mm-hmm. But my main specialty is the spine, and I'm trained in what's called the McKenzie method.
What is the McKenzie method?
McKenzie. So Robin,
who was McKenzie, first of all?
Good question. Robin McKenzie is a physical therapist who lived in New Zealand. He's since passed away. But in the 1950s, he had this famous patient named Mr. Smith with sciatica.
Okay.
And Mr. Smith was coming in for traditional physical therapy, which at the time was like a heat pack and massage. And the patient ahead of Mr. Smith had an ankle sprain. So McKenzie had the table elevated. If you were in the studio, you could see me raising my hand.
Well,
right
you
now.
Could actually watch it online.
Okay.
WMC.org.
So he had an ankle sprain, so they were trying to elevate it.
Yeah.
And so Mr. Smith came in to lay down on his stomach to get a hot pack on the back.
Yeah.
And he laid down on the table that was elevated, so his back was arched.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 1950s, this was considered a no-no. In fact, it was recommended not to bend backwards because it was thought to be bad for your back.
Ah.
However, Mr. Smith got off the table, and a couple very important things happened. Number one, his sciatica was gone, and he had centralized back pain. So McKenzie, which I always thought was the genius of McKenzie, was that he went and experimented. And so he sent Mr. Smith home doing something that at the time was considered not good for you.
Yes.
And Mr. Smith responded very well.
Mm.
And then part two is McKenzie started to experiment on other patients and had them do things. It doesn't work for everyone, so you have to be careful.
Well, why wouldn't it work for everyone?
Because it depends on, well, McKenzie theorized that the problem was coming from a disc in the back.
Okay.
And in the 1950s, he was poo-pooed because they didn't think that's what it could come from. So he created this model. And it's called the disc model. And he had the idea that the fluid inside the disc is kind of like toothpaste. So if you squeeze one way, the toothpaste goes in the other way.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting slouched all day, your vertebrae are coming together in the front. The fluid is accumulating in the back. And that's where a lot of back pain comes from.
Huh.
So when you bend backwards, that's what moves the fluid forward.
Interesting.
So some people, it doesn't go straight back. It kind of goes back into the side. And so for some people, if you try to do an extension or a backwards bend, it can aggravate it. And so McKenzie developed a system, an assessment more or less, a system of movements to tell which movement you would benefit from to resolve your back pain.
And this was in the 1950s.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty advanced.
Yes. And his, oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
His real claim to fame, though, he was in the 70s or 80s. I don't know the exact time frame. But at the time, treatment was considered bed rest and traction. So if you had real severe back pain, you went to the hospital for that. And McKenzie was resolving people's back pain on stage. And so that's when surgeons and physicians around the world started to take notice. And now it's considered the number one treatment technique in the world for back pain.
Fantastic. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Physical therapist Matthew Goodemote is with us today. And oftentimes I'll watch TV late at night, some of these old shows, and they have these commercials.
They're yes.
fairly inexpensive commercials, I would imagine. And a guy says, oh, yeah, you hang upside down on this swing.
Yes.
I'm Mr. Blah, blah, blah. and you hang upside down, and it relieves pressure on your back and the discs, and everything works out. Hokum or true?
Great question, and it's got some truth to it in the sense that when you're hanging upside down, you do to get a distraction in your back. Yeah. Whether it resolves the condition or not, that's another story. There are certainly people out there that have benefited from it, but I've also seen the patients who haven't benefited from it or have gotten worse from it.
Gotten worse from
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I remember it was also a fad back in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
My mother had one.
Uh-huh.
And we used to have, my brother and I had a hell of a time hanging on the things. But
playing on it,
I don't think it did any good.
Yeah.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, and we're joined today as we talk physical therapy with Matthew Goodemote. Let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. Susan in Poughkeepsie. Susan.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've sprained my ankle numerous times over the years, and I find that it sent my body out of alignment. So I sprained my left ankle, my right hip hurts, my right knee hurts. Mm-hmm. Do you have a book or exercise you'd recommend to, one, strengthen the ankle, and, two, get the body back in alignment?
Yes. I don't have a book per se, but I can give you some recommendations on that. There's a couple things. When you sprain your ankle, the first priority is always going to be to get rid of swelling. And so with swelling, I always recommend to have compression and elevation. I know there's a lot of people out there that like ice, but ice is something you can only use for temporary periods of time, whereas compression you can wear a lot and sometimes all day. When you sprain your ankle, you typically will injure the receptors in the nerves that send the message to the brain to tell where your foot is in space. We call them proprioceptors. So one of the most important things you can do after you've gotten rid of your swelling is to restore your motion, and then after your motion is to work on your balance and specifically standing on one foot. So part of the problem with ankle sprains is the heel, which is called your calcaneus. As you're rolling your ankle, the calcaneus rolls too, oftentimes. And if you don't restore that particular movement, then you can be more susceptible to an ankle sprain. And that movement's called eversion. So you have to restore the foot and ankle, all of its mobility in there, and then working on, again, the proprioception. And if you haven't restored that eversion in the ankle, that can lead to knee pain. And there's a whole series of events that when you strike the ground, your foot is supposed to do certain things. For example, the foot is supposed to flatten, so your arch is supposed to flatten a little bit, which allows the tibia, your shin bone, to move, which in turn allows the knee, and the knee's connected to the hip. So if you don't resolve the ankle fully, then it's going to be very difficult for everything above it to respond positively. And that's where you start to get in those problems at the knee, or you get the problems in the opposite side. So in the beginning, you're always going directly at the area where you have a problem. Now, part two of this is that you had chronic problems would suggest that you probably have some weakness above too. And so weakness primarily in the hip area. A lot of times the foot and ankle are directly connected to how the hip is working. So again, I have lots of patients who come in who have had previous ankle injuries. They're not currently having an ankle injury, but they're coming because their hip is bothering them. So we have to go back and resolve the hip and the ankle.
Susan, you want to follow up?
Yeah. So what exercises would you suggest I do to resolve all this interconnecting problems? It definitely is. I still have a weak ankle. If I hit it wrong on gravel, I go out again.
Well, the reason I got into physical therapy is because I rolled my ankle playing basketball in college, and that's exactly what led me to continually and repeatedly rolling my ankle.
Huh.
So the solution is to stand on one foot, number one. And then when you do that, it'll get kind of easy. And so you do it with your eyes closed. And when you can do it with your eyes closed, then the next step is to do it standing on like a pillow or something like that. So the pillow is uneven and you start again with your eyes open. And when that gets easy, go to your eyes closed. There's a lot of other exercises because it'd be necessary to assess the hip too and see how strong you are up above.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. And we are joined today by physical therapist Matthew Goodemote of Goodemote Physical Therapy in Saratoga Springs. Do you see in the course of your practice a lot of athletes?
Yes, an awful lot. So the main part of my practice is the spine because that's where my specialty is. But I was an athlete in college, so I've always gravitated toward working with athletes.
I just wonder what the physical therapy is like for an ACL injury. One of my son's co-players on some of his teams had a gruesome ACL injury, and you know, his dad said, oh, he went through all this physical therapy.
Yeah.
What do you have to do to fix that?
A lot. So typically you have the surgery first, so you have to have a repair of the ACL, excuse me, and then you go through getting rid of the swelling because there's usually quite a bit of swelling and restoring motion.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole series of exercises you have to do, but it's all staged because the ACL is weak after the surgery. It needs time to heal and become a strong graft. And when that takes place, then you advance them back into sports activities.
And do you find that sometimes kids or even adults go too quickly back into it?
Yes. The most common thing that happens is people do too aggressive or not enough.
Yeah.
And trying to find that balance. Oftentimes people, one of the things, I go around town and do talks, and I go to the senior centers, for example, and one of the most common things that people do with arthritis in the joints is they stop doing things because they hurt.
Right.
And that makes it worse typically.
Well, yep.
So the fine line between doing too little and doing too much.
That's, I've been straddling that my entire career here. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We talk physical therapy on the show today. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting fine art animals from the collection of the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie through October 21st. More at arkellmuseum.org. Assisted living at the Massery Residence at Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing seniors help with activities of daily living, friends, family, community, 518-689-0453 for information and tours. Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, pelhamauto.com. The Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond, skidmore.edu/tang. Nine Pin Cider, Albany, hard cider made from local apples. Tasting room features New York cider, beer, wine, spirits, open Tuesday through Sunday, now available in Massachusetts and Connecticut, ninepincider.com. And Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany, Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We're joined today by physical therapist Matthew Goodemote. And this one came in via email before we get back to the phones. This one's from May. And the subject heading is weightlifting and arthritis. I lift weights and have mild pain in my elbow. The elbow does not bother me most other times. Should I continue with the weights? Should I limit the amount of weight I lift? And that's from May.
So there's lots there at the elbow. So it depends on where in the elbow, what kind of lifting you're doing. And certainly there are sometimes that limiting what exercise you're doing because of elbow pain.
Yeah.
I'm not at all afraid of weights though. I just like to go gradually. And
yeah.
So typically in that kind of situation, I would identify, is it like a lateral epicondylitis, which is tennis elbow, medial epicondylitis, golfer's elbow, or is it coming from the bicep? And so sometimes it's as simple as changing technique. So for example, let's just say it's at the lateral epicondyle or tennis elbow type of pain.
Yeah.
It can be the wrist position.
Wow.
And just adjusting the wrist position takes the pressure and pain away and they can continue lifting.
Well,
so
May didn't really say what sort of lifting we're talking about here.
Right. So certainly you can continue to do squats and things like that.
Right.
It won't affect the elbow.
Okay.
And then it's going to really depend on the type of lifting, just like you said. So if it's, I'm assuming, upper body lifting, some type of pressing, pushing, pulling, something like that. And the first thing I look at the elbow is going to be the wrist position to see how the forearm is positioned, how the wrist is positioned. And then I would look, of course, at the elbow and work my way up to the shoulder.
Would you stay away from free weights and use a machine?
No, I'm not a big fan of machines. And I don't think most physical therapists are.
Why?
They don't fit. So I'm 6'3", and to go onto a machine and also the angles are forced. There, you have to do the movement that's set for you.
But aren't they designed so that you do the movement in a good way?
That's what everyone thinks. It's not my belief. And I like free weights because there's a lot of other benefits to free weights. So just controlling the weights, that makes you work little muscles. And again, there's nervous system reactions and whatnot. And on those machines, I have lots and lots of people who've been hurt on those injury-free machines.
Very interesting. Well, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Jim in Ballston Lake is next. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thanks for this information today. Perfect timing. A week ago today, I had a guided spinal steroid injection in my back because I developed pretty bad back pain 6-7 weeks before that, and they found that in addition to the stenosis that I had prior to that, I also have scoliosis. So I had the injection, and it seemed to work very well. In fact, so well that on Sunday, I went for a very moderate, mild hike. And that the next day, my back started, did not hurt a great deal, but started to ache. And I'm wondering, could I have canceled out the benefits of the injection by just doing this stupid hike?
Right. It's not likely you canceled it out. It depends on a few variables, though. So you hiked this weekend, and is your back still bothering you today?
Yeah, nothing compared to where it was before I had the injection.
Right.
But,
okay.
Little aches, and so I'm just concerned that.
Yeah.
If I did something wrong.
So generally speaking, when people start to restore activity after an injection, I do recommend being more strategic, meaning you go for a very short hike to make sure your body tolerates it okay, and then gradually adding to a moderate or even more intense type of hike. And what's most important with the spine is restoring motion. So even after injection, you're looking to fully resolve the range of motion in your lumbar spine. And there's four motions of the lumbar spine. This is part of my McKenzie training here. You have a forward bend, which is flexion, a backwards bend, which is extension. And then we have a movement called a side glide. And a side glide, I usually do it in a doorway. You basically stop your shoulders from moving and move your hips to the right and your hips to the left.
Hmm.
And those particular movements also direct as how I advise people after an injection, because even after injection, I'm still trying to make sure you have full range of motion in your spine. And if you don't, something as mild as going for a hike or even just sitting in a car ride can stir it back up.
Well, how long will an injection's benefits last?
It's a trick question for me because it depends. And so the idea behind a cortisone injection is a steroid injection, which is cortisone,
right,
is to reduce the inflammation.
Right.
If you have an underlying reason that's causing the inflammation, it will often buy you some time to work on range of motion, do some strengthening exercise, and return to function.
Mm.
There's times where the injections don't work, of course, and you do an injection and it didn't have any effect because it wasn't inflammation. And then there's a shelf life to cortisone. So
right.
As the medicine dissipates through your body, the effectiveness is going to go downhill. However, the first, you can expect a few weeks at least,
oh, okay,
and usually up to a few months.
All right.
I could just add, I'm 74. One of the things I tried to find out from the doctor was, what can I do going on? Because I like to ski and hike. Mm-hmm. And I asked a question like, well, how about hiking? And I'd be told, well, hiking, you know, can cause more problems sometimes than you really agree. But bicycling's very good.
Yeah.
And I said, what about downhill skiing? He says, well, that's a lot of pressure on the back, but bicycling is very good. So I'm really not sure what I should do.
I think he's hinting towards bicycling.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm a big fan of just being...
I have to lift on the back of my car, and that's probably not good.
I'm a big fan of you being active, and I like the idea of hiking and skiing, but you have to make sure your back is really ready for it. So making sure you have full motion and good strength in there are all precursors to those activities.
So take it slowly.
Okay,
gradually, yes.
So the steroid injection still may be doing its good.
Yeah.
And the aches could just be a temporary thing as a result of getting stuck in the mud on the trail.
And what you're going to be looking for is over the next several days for those symptoms to get better and better. So, and that's a sign that it is helping.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Matthew Goodemote, and we go to Tanya, or is it Tana in Saratoga?
Hi, it's Tana.
Hi, you're on.
Thanks. I'm not sure if this is in your scope, but about 5 weeks ago, my husband, he joined like a 6-week challenge at a gym, and it was pretty heavy calisthenics, you know, intervals, working with hand weights and such and such. And it was probably a little bit above his fitness level. But long story short, he came home from a workout and that night had very serious vertigo and ended up with sudden hearing loss in his left ear, which has not resolved. And we haven't really gotten a good answer as to what caused it. So I've been reading, and one of the things that can cause it is either alignment or some issue with the C1 and C2 vertebrae.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you had any experience with that type of a thing, and whether either physical therapy or even chiropractic can sort of resolve or possibly help with the hearing loss.
Hearing loss is not something I've ever seen resolved with physical therapy. The vertigo has me interested, though, because it is possible, as you said, to have some problems at the upper cervical region. And vertigo book can also be caused from inner ear. There's a lot of reasons.
The crystals, you get positional vertigo.
Yeah, exactly. And so those would be the kind of things to see, is there any kind of link there? And in these kind of cases, I'm always in the mindset of just try something. It would only be a visit or two to see if it had any effect. And if it didn't have any effect, it probably wouldn't have an effect.
Okay, to be clear, you're not a medical doctor,
no,
right?
No, okay. I'm not.
Just so
and
we
I, I have right. never personally, I've been doing physical therapy for 21 years and spine the entire time, and I have never had a case of hearing loss that has responded from anything that I've done.
Okay.
So. Yeah, Matt, that's pretty much what I'm hearing,
yeah.
But, you know, we're kind of, since nobody can give us a good reason, and we're, you know, I'm of course doing my own research, so.
And those kind of things, again, it's okay to try them, because if the physical therapy or chiropractic is going to do anything, it will be a fairly quick resolution. Because if it was, if, for example, if I were to do the assessment, then I'm going to be looking for literally in one or two visits that it's going to have an effect.
Yeah.
And if it's not, then it's not going to have an effect.
Would you be able to evaluate to see if the C1 and C2 vertebrae, or if it possibly was out of alignment, by doing an exam?
I wouldn't do, there's no way to do an exam. You have to get like an X-ray, an MRI to see what's
it's
going
an X-ray.
On.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Tana, thanks a lot for the call, and good luck with that one. That's an interesting problem, vexing. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Matthew Goodemote, and we go to Ben in Saratoga Springs. Ben.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I'm a pretty active person, exercise a lot, pretty vigorous exercising. About 4 weeks ago during some exercise, I injured my back, and I was told by my chiropractor that I pulled my psoas muscle.
Oh, okay. Ouch.
And he gave me some stretches to help it get better, and the stretching helped a lot. But I drive a lot for my job, and I'm looking for preventative measures to make sure that doesn't happen again.
How did you injure it? Do you remember?
I was kind of doing lunging and kind of pretty rigorous squatting.
And you remember a specific event where you did something and you felt it?
Yeah, I mean, it was like a bang.
Okay.
Almost.
Yeah, it's unusual muscle to strain in that regard.
Which muscle is this?
It's called the psoas.
Where's that?
The psoas is attached at your thigh bone and goes up through the pelvis to the spine.
Ouch.
And it joins with another muscle on the inside of the pelvis called the iliacus. So it's iliopsoas muscle.
All right.
And the psoas muscle is a very big, strong muscle. And it's not that I don't think it's possible to strain, because I do, but I'm more curious about what's going on with the back and how you're moving. And I'd also be curious to what's going on in the hip joint. The psoas muscle runs right by the hip joint. And doing a lot of squats, if you were going rotation of the hip where you were just working about going through the workout in a fast way, and not paying attention to the mechanics as much, or with fatigue, you could have externally rotated your hip or internally rotated it, and that would give the same type of sensation of pain in that region. But it's not the muscle, it's more the joint.
Will that go away on its own?
Can, yeah. And the fact that it's still bothering him and with sitting, I think that so muscles, when you injure a muscle, they respond pretty quickly, and they get better pretty quickly. And once they're better, they're pretty much better.
Mm-hmm.
So you think of like a track runner who injures his hamstring. It takes a while, but once he's running again. He doesn't sit in the car and the hamstring starts to hurt again. And so I'm very suspicious of the psoas muscle. And it's not to say you didn't injure that. I just think there's probably something else going on with it. And that's why sitting in the car riding is agitating to it.
Okay. Ben, you want to follow up?
Yeah. So the night before I did that exercise, I went for like the first long bike ride of the season. So I was kind of stiff from that.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe I overdid it the next day, I'm thinking,
yeah.
or something like that.
I would be looking into your position, your posture. So I want to know what, first of all, the lumbar spine, do you have full range of motion there? This is what I would do in the clinic. I go right through the lumbar spine range of motion, and then I'm going to assess your hip range of motion just to see if those are passively moving okay and actively moving okay. And then I take you through a series of movements because the psoas should be predictable. We should be able to put it in positions that say, ouch, that's hurting, or no, it doesn't hurt. And that gives us more and more clues as to what to do next with. As far as stretching for the psoas, I do have some stretches I do, but I often find it's more a product of teaching proper posture, how to hold it while doing exercise, and I really kind of emphasize that. Make sure you're hip hinging properly, make sure you have good strength in all the muscles around the hip. So that's typically where I go with that.
Okay, Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Our number here on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Matthew Goodemote, and we talk physical therapy. You say muscles in general heal fairly quickly.
Yes.
And yet I saw a thing on the Sports Wire today. Cabrera on the Tigers is out the rest of the year, torn bicep. Isn't
yes.
that a muscle?
It is. A tear is different than a strain.
Okay.
So if you tear something and there's different types of tearing. So you have grade 1, 2, 3, then you have ruptures and things. So, and it's also, he's a professional athlete and we have to find out where he tore it.
Right.
So if you tear at the elbow, it's way more significant than tearing at the shoulder. And yet there's a tendon, the bicep tendon goes into the shoulder joint where the labrum is, and that can cause problems in the joint too. So.
And that's a long healing process for that one?
It's anytime you tear something, it's going to be a long healing process, especially if they need surgical intervention.
Mm.
And so you're talking in terms of weeks. Like, I'll take the hamstring as an example. If someone tears it, you're going to get that bruising and swelling.
Yeah.
That's a 6 month to a year process.
Yeah.
If you strain your hamstring, it's a few weeks.
Right.
So a strain versus a tear is different, and the same thing is going to be true with the biceps. So
now, he's 35 years old. I imagine it takes longer as you get older.
It definitely does.
Our guest today is Matthew Goodemote. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's go to David in Cairo. David.
Yes. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I guess this, I probably already know the answer. But a long time ago, when I was younger, 41 now, during a football game, I smashed the inside of my knee really, you know, really hard to the point where it hurt for a couple of weeks. And it didn't bother me at all, you know, up until I turned about 38, 39. And I can actually pinpoint, you know, where it hurts. It's in the middle of the knee, you know, kind of right below the bone. And, I mean, some days it's so bad that I'm basically limping around.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other days like today where it seems to be fine.
Yeah.
Now, you know, somebody had mentioned a physical therapist or surgery. So I just wanted to get your opinion on something like that. What do you think?
Well, if it's in the knee area specifically, I would check to make sure it's the joint. And typically because something happened in your teen years and now something's rearing back up, the first thought is I go to the cartilage of the knee, and I would think of things like meniscus and possibly some degeneration / arthritis. But there are other reasons for knee pain. So we'd want to make sure that there's a couple tendons that come around to the inside of the knee, and they wrap around to down towards your shin bone. And then the outer part of the knee, there's a group of tendons there too, all of which can be painful and all of which can be a source of knee issues. So when it's at a joint and it's intermittent, that tends to lead me towards a meniscus or cartilage issue. And then I would want to follow up with knowing what kind of activities, if you have any that specifically bother it, as if you're guaranteed if I do this activity, it's going to make my knee hurt. Do you have
I can tell you, if I take both my feet and I put pressure, you know, against them,
yep.
that's when it bothers me the most, right
okay.
there.
Yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
that pushing in. And
yeah.
sometimes it's just, you know, it's quite painful, you know.
Yeah.
But then other days, it's like,
yep.
it doesn't bother me at all. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
I had injured my meniscus a long time ago, and a few weeks ago I stepped off a stair and turned, and it was quite painful.
There it was.
And, yeah, there it was to remind you. So the thing that I would recommend is, yes, physical therapy can help, and there's more and more research that's showing you can do physical therapy as opposed to surgery in these kind of cases. But if you've tried therapy and it's not going well, then of course you need to follow up with an orthopedic.
All right, David, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Susan in Hudson. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I've had coccidemia for a year and a half. I've done physical therapy. I've gotten two shots, Nothing seems to change it. I read online and doctors told me usually it's about a month or two when people injure it. Although I didn't injure it, this is kind of a spontaneous thing. I fell down and whatnot when I was younger on some ice and things, but that was years and years ago. So I'm just wondering, in your experience, how long can this coccidemia last?
First of all, what is it, before you answer the question?
I'm not clear on the word either, so I'm not sure.
It's injury to the coccyx bone.
Oh, coccyx.
The very tailbone.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Coccyx.
Gotcha.
Yes. So the coccyx is the tailbone.
Tailbone.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you have an injury, it is typically from a fall onto it, and it can range in how long it can last. It depends on if there's an injury, a fracture, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficult area to treat. So the times that I've treated, there's a couple things to know. One is to make sure that when you're sitting with an exaggeratedly good posture. So you want to make sure that you're not putting weight on the tailbone to the best of your ability to take the pressure off. And so ideally you'll have some kind of pad or something to give space around the coccyx. And if you don't have that pad, then what you want to make sure is you're exaggerating the arch in your lower back. And that will put you up on what we call the sit bones, those little bones in your butt.
Yeah.
And that can give you enough space that you take some pressure off of that. And there's not a lot of great treatments that, I would assess your lumbar spine and I'd go through all the movements and make sure that it's not tangled in there, because the nerves in the back can refer down into that area. So I would clear that first, and then we would just do some other injury prevention type of things, postural exercises, trying to help the area.
Now, again, though, this happened when she was young, and now it's back. Why?
There's a possibility that you could have something that's referring to the area, so it's given the impression that it's the coccyx, and it's not really. So you would have to rule out the other areas first to make sure.
I have MRI, and I've had CAT scans, and I've had X-rays on it, and it seems I went to got a colonoscopy, I went to the gynecologist. I cleared out anything down in that area, and that's pretty much it.
Yep.
Interesting.
So because I was concerned it might be something else, but I guess it's just going to take time.
Yeah.
I mean, they say it could take up to 3-4 years. I mean, I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No, those are rare cases, but that is true. You can take quite a long time.
We need to take a quick break here. Thank you, Susan, for the call. And our guest today is Matthew Goodemote. We'll be right back. Talk physical therapy till the end of the program, about 20 minutes from now.
Support for WAMC comes from Saratoga Chamber Players, presenting concerts of string quintets Saturday, June 16th, 7:30 p.m. at Cafe Lena, and on Sunday, June 17th at 3 p.m. at the Hyde Collection, saratogachamberplayers.org. Rhinebeck Artishops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and at 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting its 6th annual Lake George Hikeathon, July 5th, a one-day event with 19 hikes and paddles. Register online at lakegeorgehikeathon.org. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Culligan Water of Lennox, providing purified drinking water to the Berkshires and beyond for over 40 years. You could give your people Culligan water. See CulliganNewEngland.com for information. And the Linda, WAMC's Performing Arts Studio, presenting the Coen Brothers film True Grit, Sunday, June 24th, thelinda.org for more information.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote is our guest today, and we talk physical therapy. And Matthew, before we get back to the phones, a few more emails here. This one is from Florence. Our adult daughter injured her knee about 4 years ago. It was first diagnosed as an ACL problem. Took a while to get that diagnosis. About 1.5 years into the process, she was diagnosed as having RSD or CRPS. She has done some PT. That's a lot of letters. Everything we've read says that the prognosis is not good. Is there something that we can point her toward to relieve the fibromyalgia type of pain that lingers, as well as that she can't put weight on her knee and is on crutches or in a wheelchair? She lives in the Schenectady area. First of all, what's RSD? What's CRPS?
Oh, RSD is reflex sympathetic dystrophy.
Okay.
And the other one is chronic regional pain syndrome.
Okay. All right. But she has done some PT, which is physical therapy.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. So what do you think?
It's an unfortunate diagnosis. Both of those cases, RSD is actually what I did my master's thesis on, even though it's hard for me to say it to you what it is.
All right.
So it's a condition where the nervous system is in a little bit of going a little bit haywire. So it's a hypersensitivity. And so it's a very difficult area to treat. It has a whole bunch of other symptoms too. But in this kind of case, it's physical therapy is known to help it. One of the things that you want to try to do is get people functional, which means putting weight through it. But there are so many different options for treatment. It's really would be hard to say specifically to.
All right. Well, this question. One is from Ramon. I've read that chairs cause havoc on spine alignment and health, that cultures that do not have them adopt a squat position on both feet to rest with their rears off the ground, and that their natural spine shape is an S or J shape, and ours is moved into the other shape by chairs, causing lots of problems. Is this accurate?
I think this person has read a book by Esther Gokel. The J-shaped spine is something that I also agree is how our spine should look.
Yeah.
And yes, I do think the West, we have terrible posture.
Yeah.
And the more we have terrible posture, the more problems we have with backs.
Okay.
So as far as sitting, I'm of the mindset also that sitting, there's a gentleman up in Canada that's been studying sitting postures for decades.
Right.
And there is no good sitting posture.
Okay.
And there is no good chair, and ergonomic chairs are not better than other chairs necessarily.
Interesting.
However, you can have a chair that fits you just right, and that's not the chair that's going to fit me just right.
Okay.
And I never advocate people sitting more than 30 minutes anyways. So
how about lying on the couch? I'm pretty good at that.
I love that. Yeah. Reclined recumbent position?
Yeah.
Excellent. It's very good for your spine, too.
And then the second question from Ramon, would I do better using a very low stool, 8 or 10 inches off the ground, and sitting squat on that with both feet flat on the ground?
No. And there's a few things to that question also, that it assumes that you have the hip mobility and knee mobility and ankle mobility to get into the full squat.
Right.
Because the people in these countries that sit that way started when they were children and continued all the way into adulthood. So there's a lot of adults that don't have the range of motion to get there.
Yeah.
And also right in the beginning, I was talking about the McKenzie method and that disc in the back, mm-hmm. and how if you have the fluid, the vertebrae coming together in the front, the fluid will migrate towards the back.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of people out there, if they got in that sustained position, they could start to develop issues with their back in that regard. So I'm a huge advocate of squatting. I think it's great for you, and I like to do it myself. Staying that way and sitting in that position, I still would limit myself to 30 minutes, whether it's that position or any other position.
Fair enough. All right, this one is from James. I have gradually started having shoulder pain on my right side. It feels like the pain is generally in the area where the deltoid joins with the humerus. I've first noticed it when I low bar back squat, having a hard time getting under the bar and positioning my arm for the lift. It now hurts when I lay on it, putting on a shirt, etc. I try and stretch before I lift, and I have, per doctor's orders, rested for 2 weeks. Still the pain.
So some of that has to do most likely with your posture and the fact that your thoracic spine is a little bit rounded. That's causing the shoulder blades to come forward.
Okay.
And it makes it hard to get that shoulder up and back. So the first thing I would address would be posture. If you have good posture, the next thing I would address would be the shoulder blade, making sure it can be in its proper position. And then if it's still bothering you, it's probably due to something going on with the shoulder joint. And those all sound very familiar, those kind of pains, and it's important to address those and resolve them because it is fixable.
Okay, and this last one is from Sheila. Some people say that stretching before exercise is not all that important, yet I've heard others say that you don't really have to. Which is it? Is stretching necessary before a workout? And if so, why?
So there's a lot of talk about this, and the first thing is that warm-up is more valuable than stretching per se. So you want to get your blood flow going before activity, and that can take as little as 5 minutes, and between 5 and 10 minutes is kind of the general rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as stretching goes, the best time to stretch is after, because you have been exercising and you have lots of blood flow, so your muscles are nice and pliable and ready to be stretched. So I would advocate more along the lines of stretching afterwards, and yes, it is good for you. And I would recommend warming up prior to activity.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Christine and Troy. Christine.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm calling because I've been running now for probably about 6 or 7 years, but recently I've been having very severe pain in my shoulder on my right side if I do a run more than, say, 4 miles. And I was just trying to see if maybe physical therapy would be a good option, if it's something I should pursue. And sometimes the pain will actually turn into, like, tingling down my arm.
So it seems like it's getting... The pain in your shoulder, where in the shoulder specifically?
The upper shoulder, kind of between the neck and the shoulder, right... Right where the neck and the shoulder meet.
That's your neck. so it's most like, and it's probably due to the posture that you're running in. And so, yes, that would be a case where physical therapy would be helpful. And most people, when you're having shoulder pain, there is an event like that email we had. He was lifting, got his arm into a particular position. And it's typically right at the front of the shoulder, the side of the shoulder, or the back of the shoulder. When it's up in the trap area, the trapezius muscle there, and it's connected to the neck, it's usually the neck. And when it's the shoulder blade, it's also usually the neck. And so if you have any pain, but the big one was the tingling. Anytime you get tingling that's going below the elbow, I immediately think neck and clear the neck. And there are occasions where it's the shoulder, but most times it's the neck. So,
all right. So that's something that can be addressed.
Oh, of course. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Christine. Over to Jackie in Otisville. Jackie.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. You're welcome.
Hello.
Hello. You're welcome.
Hi.
Okay. Okay. I've had hip pain for most of my life. I think I'm pretty much like, I don't know, they haven't been quite right aligned. But after I had my son, it got so bad to the point where, like, I was stuck in bed. I couldn't walk. I've been to physical therapy 3 or 4 times for, like, up to maybe 5 weeks. And the pain just gets so unbearable, I can't go through with it anymore.
So when you say hip, where do you mean hip?
Usually, like, I grab my bum.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's more like on the behind part.
Yep. That's mostly your back. And so the hip joint, typically the way it's going to present is going to be in the groin area as opposed to the butt area. So, and it's important when you're using the language too, even if you're talking to physical therapists or physicians or whoever, that if you say hip, they immediately think hip. And if you say your back, they immediately think back. And the general referral pattern for the back is going to be in the butt area. And physical therapy, it's especially this kind of case, would be something you would expect to have quick improvement. So when people come in and they tell me their hip hurts and they point to their butt, then I immediately address their back. And it's usually within a visit or two they can see the improvement. And so it would be something you would want to have somebody evaluate your lower back for sure.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jackie. 800-348-2551, the number. We go over to Janet in Westerlo. Janet.
Hi, how are you? Thank you guys for taking my call.
Sure. You're welcome.
I've been suffering with sciatica pain on and off for a couple of months. I've been going to my chiropractor regularly for 20 years, and she's been trying to adjust it. I recently came back from Sweden, and I went to my girlfriend's osteopath doctor.
Yep.
He got a lot more movement from me, but I still have the pain, and I was wondering if you can recommend anything.
Yeah, a few things. First of all, my wife is from Denmark, and we met at the McKenzie training, so I travel over and have been to Sweden a couple times. So sciatica is the pain that goes down the back of the leg, and it's specifically a nerve root that gets irritated. I'm very particular when people say sciatica that they mean sciatica. So do you have pain below the knee?
No.
No. So sciatica for me is always going to be pain below the knee. And if it's not going below the knee, then it's not sciatica yet. However, if you've had it go below the knee in the past, then it would be still possible. And to answer your question about what to do, if you get results when somebody is doing some movements to you, like the gentleman in Sweden or your chiropractor back home, it generally means you should be able to do something at home to assist that. So if I'm going to do any type of manual work on a patient, then I'm going to give them the exercises to follow up with to maintain any type of relief and also motion. So the key with this, Janet, is that you have motion and your mobility improves because they go hand in hand. The pain and the mobility go hand in hand. The more you move, the better you're going to feel. And the worse you feel, the worse you move.
So I do stretches every morning before I get out of bed, and I walk pretty regularly, at least a mile a day, and my occupation is pretty active as well, cleaning house.
So when it comes to the stretches, the McKenzie method is very specific and very precise. And one of the things that I do differently is that I go after the painful side and I do not stretch both sides. And primarily I go based on that disc model again. So if you're doing stretches to both sides, it could be that one of the stretches is actually the thing that's provoking it. So what I would do is I would zero you down to one and possibly two stretches, and both of them would be geared towards alleviating your symptoms and not worrying about flexibility. So I have a little slogan I say, it's mobility first, stability or strength second, and the last thing I worry about is flexibility. So mobility means to me your joints are moving well and your soft tissue is moving well. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm zeroing.
I just have the pain on my thigh. It's on my left thigh and occasionally on my left lower back.
Okay. Yeah, so when it's in the left back and left thigh, that's definitely coming from the back, and I would address it that way.
All right, Janet, thanks so much for the call. Let's go over to Trish and Troy. Trish.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes. Hi. So my fiance, about 3 years ago, he's about 55 now, he had surgery on his back, his lower back, to remove a cyst.
Yes.
Which is normally an in-office procedure, mm-hmm. but it turned into a week stay in the hospital for him.
Oof, wow.
Yeah, what had happened was the cyst had actually, now he had been tolerating this lower back pain for a long time, discovered it was the cyst, and discovered the cyst had gotten blocked and had actually traveled up his back.
Wow.
And created a new cyst.
Yes, wow.
Yes, very interesting. And they wound up having to take the whole thing out. And the area they removed was probably the size of a hand, smallish hand, down to his spine. You could actually see his spine.
Yeah, wow.
And it was right above the butt crack, basically.
Yep.
So, of course, it was a long recovery.
Yes.
And he's still experiencing now, about 3 years later, still experiencing a lot of pain, difficulty with mobility.
Yeah.
Is his best bet to go with exercise or chiro, or what's his best strategy?
This is one of those, it's a difficult thing to say because he's had the surgery and the cyst removed, but it's also possible that there was another issue on top of the cyst that was causing that back pain way back then. And although mm-hmm. the cyst has been removed, the other part was never dealt with, and that's why it's still there. It's also possible due to scar tissue from the surgery to remove the cyst that's part of where his pain's coming from. And as a physical therapist, I typically recommend physical therapy. And so, yes, exercise is where I would go with it. But again, I would start with that basic spine assessment, make sure he has full mobility. And if he doesn't, that's the starting point. You have to get those joints working properly, and you have to get the soft tissue working properly.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's try to squeeze one or two more in here before the end of the show. Isabella in somewhere in New York. Where are you in New York, Isabella?
Putnam Valley.
Well, you are on the air.
Hi.
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 How are you? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm calling because I have like an alignment problem in my knee.
Yeah.
And so we're saying like it's fine, like nothing's going to change or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I have pain in my knee and like it just hurts.
So
I hear like a cracking.
Right. Voice. Cracking in the knee, if it's coming at the kneecap, there's often a condition that will cause cracking from the kneecap called chondromalacia patella. But the alignment problem at the knee is usually coming from the foot or the hip, not the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this kind of case, I would look at both. And I would look at see what the hips are doing. Is there a weakness in certain muscles? So for example, if you have a weakness in your glute muscles, then you'll often have an internal rotation and adduction, which means your knees come together from the femurs. And there's also people who have problems down below at their foot where they either pronate too much or they've had a history of ankle sprains and their knee doesn't work as well. So there's too many variables in there to know is the alignment specifically the knee or not. And then in regards to the knee, a lot of times people mean kneecap and not the knee joint,
right.
And they are different, and that's going to change, you know, what the physical therapist would do depending on that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Isabella, and good luck with your issue. And quickly, now we only have a minute or two here. Mary in New Paltz. Mary, you're on.
Hi, thank you so much.
Hi.
Hi.
So I've got a question about an old hamstring injury. I pulled it or strained it or something at the end of a half marathon 2 years ago. Couldn't run for a really long time. Gradually have gotten back up and been able to run, and I do a lot of yoga, but it's never totally gone away. And just out of the blue, sometimes it will come back and be really bad.
Yeah.
My question is, you know, is it okay to keep doing anything I can tolerate, or am I just making this thing go on and on and on?
Hamstrings need to be resolved all the way. And what that means to me is to make sure you have full range of motion in your hamstring, number one, and then number two, full strength. And the hamstring's job is partly for speed, and so you have to work on doing exercises to strengthen that. As far as the mobility of the hamstring goes, the hamstring attaches in the butt and goes down to the back of the knee. And so the stretches we do at my office is we make sure you bring your knee to your chest when you're stretching your hamstring, and that will bring the butt muscle into play, and then you straighten the leg out. And then we recommend turning the toe in and turning the toe out because the hamstring bifurcates, it splits in two, and you want to get all angles and all aspects of the hamstring. And then once you have full mobility, we do a whole bunch of strengthening, including just band work, weight work. We do eccentrics, and then we do things like deadlifts, and we do all kinds of dynamic activities to build that back up.
Well, Mary, that'll have to be the last call. Matthew Goodemode, nice job today. How do
Thank
people
you.
Find out more about your practice?
So online, you can find me at Goodemode PT, PT as in physical therapy, but it's goodemodept.com, and we're in Saratoga on Route 50.
Very good. Well, thank you, sir, for being here. Support comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Slide and Dirty, serving handcrafted sliders, pub fare, and a variety of craft beers and spirits in downtown Troy and Schenectady. Trivia every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Food truck catering available for events. Slideanddirty.com. Adirondack Aquatic Center, Malta, New York, a planned aquatic facility where children and adults with varying abilities in the region can learn, heal, play, exercise, train, and compete. AdirondackAquaticCenter.org. And Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. Thanks again to Matthew Goodemode for being here. Thank you for listening and for all the great calls and emails. Zach Malloy was our engineer. He continues to be our engineer. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, astronomer Bob Berman is back. Right now, it's news.